to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience ends.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. It is Sunday, December 11th, 2016. We're a couple weeks away from Christmas. Hope no one's getting into any Christmas shopping brawls out there, and you're getting all the gifts you want to get for people, and the holiday would be enjoyable, spending the time with the family and friends and getting blasted. Whatever you do for Christmas, I'm about to say Halloween. So, we're here for another episode, and this is on rantemradio.com. And thanks for listening live, and those listeners download, thank you for listening too. And there are other methods of listening to this show. Of course, there's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. Even put it on Blog Talk Radio when I get a chance, and many other formats. And if you want to not just listen to me talk, but actually have a conversation with me about comic books, you can call me up on Skype. Just add the contact SilverSurfer_forever. And next year I'm going to try to re-add the phone number so that if you don't have Skype, you can still use your telephone, your cell phone, to call me. And so, it's been some week. There's been tons of trailers dropping. And if you don't know why these trailers are dropping this week, there's one obvious reason. They all want to play ahead of Rogue One. So that's why all these trailers are coming out. So when you go see Rogue One, these are all the trailers you're going to see before Rogue One. And Rogue One's going to have a ton of trailers in front of the beginning of that movie. So do not be surprised. But a lot of people are going to go see Rogue One. And that is due out next week. And we will have a Christmas special revolving around Rogue One here on Right In Radio next Saturday around 8 p.m. More information will come soon. So now that I'm talking about trailers, the first one to drop that came out this week, and this was after they had dropped a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer last week, and the internet exploded. Then Transformers said, you know what, we got a movie coming out, Transformers 5, The Last Night. And I watched it, and I watched it a couple of times just to make sure. And in the long-standing tradition of Transformer movies, it looks like a piece of shit. And I'll just put the link in the chat room if you haven't watched the trailer yet. So, it looks like, you know, at the end of the last Transformer movie, Age of Extinction, Optimus Prime, all of a sudden could fly, decided, I'm going to go out in space and find our creators. Leaving the Autobots on Earth, leaving a bunch of Dinobots to roam the Earth. I mean, giant Dinobots Not like in the cartoon where the Dinobots is the same size as the Autobots. I mean, these Dinobots are 2 and 3 times bigger than, like, Optimus Prime as an Autobot. And leaving the Decepticons, the ones that the humans remade, and the ones that didn't get destroyed and recreated by humans. And, of course, you still got humans who think, oh, you know what, this is our planet. And, you know, as long as these Transformers are here, they're a threat to our life, our existence. So it looks like, yeah, so Optimus Prime, he's been out in space for who knows how long. And things are just falling apart here on Earth. It looks like the humans are at total war with all Transformers at this point. I mean, I'm not even sure who's on whose side. I don't know if it's... And that's one of the things that's bothering me. Is... Look, I want to see a Transformer movie that's simple. You got Autobots facing off against Decepticons. Few humans as possible. I don't want Mark Wahlberg trying to act like he's some inventor. I don't want no Shia LaBeouf running around Optimus, Bumblebee, and just needing to be rescued. And then I don't need the Michael Bay school of filming where it's America and scenes of America and shots up girls' crotches. And I just want to see the Autobots and the Decepticons just battle it out for once. That's all. But as they got the narration of what's been happening with the Autobots and the Transformers, apparently Optimus Prime went out into space and is frozen. Like, that makes no sense. Like, when he came to Earth, it wasn't like they were frozen. So why all of a sudden is he floating out in space frozen? And he eventually comes back to Earth, and then one of the scenes you see is him look like he's about to, kill Bumblebee. So, now who knows? Maybe some trailers in the future will look better. But I'm not, you know, the last Transformer movie, when it got to that last 45 minutes to an hour, it just became nothing but a light show. And it's still going to make $1 billion because it is idiot-proof. So, Transformers dropped this week. And then, the trailers just kept coming. They just kept coming. We got, what was the other trailer? I'm going to get to that. War of the Planet of the Apes. And I'm telling you, since they rebooted the Planet of the Apes, not the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes, but the recent series, I mean, it hasn't been they have not messed up on how good that series has been. And this one looks even better. And this one is like a full-out war between apes and humans. And it does, you kind of wonder, and this, from the trailer, how in the hell are the apes going to win when the humans got all these mechanized weapons and guns and trucks and I'm going to put this in the chat room, should be like a slaughtering the apes, but we know that is not the case. So, but it looks fantastic, and Caesar's still around, but this may be the last Caesar movie you get of the Planet of the Apes. So, that's up to you. Wasn't Cobra killed in the last Planet of the Apes? I'm gonna say this orally too. Look, I don't mind a little joking, but if people are in the chat room only to clown, I'm going to hit the button on you, on whoever starts trolling. So if you got a serious question to ask me, I will be happy to try to answer it. But other than that, I don't want to be reading dumb questions just to get distracted from me trying to do this show. So this is the only warning everybody in the chat room is going to get. If you don't like it, you cannot listen. You don't have to listen. So, that's up to you. I'm just so excited for Planet of the Apes. And then Marvel and Sony said, no. We run the internet. We own it. And they dropped the Spider-Man trailer. First, it played on Jimmy Kimmel because that's the only way people will watch that show. And then it went on the internet and they put the... First, they did a teaser trailer the night before saying it's coming out the next night. And even that 15 seconds of a teaser trailer got people excited. And then they say, okay, we're going to show it on Jimmy Kimmel. And then they're going to put it on the internet. And they did that and they put it on the internet. And they dropped two trailers. They dropped the American version and an international version. And they're a little different, but not, you know, you got Spider-Man and people are nutting on themselves after watching this trailer. They're like, we finally got Spider-Man. They finally got him right. He's making jokes as he's kicking bad guys' asses. And then, you know, now he's in high school, of course. He's still a kid. And apparently this is going to take place right after he gets back from Captain America Civil War because he's in a limo with Tony Stark. And Tony Stark is like, kid, you know, we don't do this, you don't do that. Just stay in your lane. Don't worry about it. And he's kicking him out the limo. And then, you know, he's going through high school things, staring at girls, being called a loser. His friend finds out he's Spider-Man, which, of course, he didn't want to happen. But now he knows, hey, ask that friend who knows. And they haven't even shown all the high schoolers yet that's going to be involved in this movie. So there's more to show. And then, of course, you see the Vulture for the first time. He's mechanized wingsuit. And Spider-Man wants to stop him. And Tony Stark's like, no, that's not you. But Spider-Man wants to prove himself. So, people are thinking, yeah, it's fine. They got Spider-Man right. Well, look, I like the first three Spider-Man movies. Now, I admit that the third one is got a lot of flaws. But still, it was okay. And then the next two after that, I kind of didn't like because I just thought that, you know, they just did it wrong. But, you know, I think this is going to be the one that brings us all together, Spider-Man fans, and brings us together in love, peace, and harmony. Now, all these movies are coming out in 2017. Oh, and we got a Fast and the Furious trailer, too. Little teaser. I don't know if we need a Fast and Furious 8. You know, 7 would have been a nice... ending to that franchise, but just makes too much fucking money. And so, greed always wins out, and then they're going to do an 8th movie without their friend who's dead in real life. And, you know, we've heard the stories about Vin Diesel and The Rock fighting on set. I guess, you know, egos got in the way. I'm a bigger star than you, who knows? And speaking of Rock, He couldn't just let one movie trailer come out. He had to put a second one out. And this had nothing to do with this show in particular, but it came out anyway, which was, of course, Baywatch. And they're trying to make it seem like this man could just save the entire beach by himself. And then you got the comedy and the titties shaking in the bikinis and stuff. And I wasn't a Baywatch or a watcher on TV. Oh yeah, I might see the movie. Depends. You know, what the critics are saying, so. I don't know, I don't care about Baywatch to be honest, but who knows? Maybe I'll become a Baywatch fan after seeing the movie. I don't know. Let me tell you some box office news. Usually I start off with the box office news, but this has just been so many trailers. I had to talk about some of them. For the third week in a row, Moana is the number one movie. Brought in another $18.8 million. Its 3 weeks total was now $145 million. it's outpacing Frozen at this point of their, you know, run. But Frozen made a lot of money because it lasted a whole lot of weeks. And that's usually the key to, like, most movies becoming all-time movies. It's not how much money you make up front, but how much money you make on the back end. That's why Titanic and then Avatar after that became the number one movies. It wasn't because of how much money they made the first couple weekends. It was how much money they was making in week 8, 9, and 10. And they were still making a lot of money. So that's how you do it. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, some people call them Pokemon, brought in another $10 million to its four-week total of $199 million. Doctor Strange just won't give up that fifth spot, brought in another 4.6. After 6 weeks, is up to $222 million domestic. And worldwide, Doctor Strange is at $645 million. It did surpass the Iron Man 1 and I think Iron Man 2. So, people like that magic with Doctor Strange. Is there any other movies that we care about for this show? Let's see. Trolls dropped down to 9th with $3 million. I'm only mentioning that because it's animated. And that's it as far as relevant movies. So let me talk to you about some TV shows this week. We had a couple of mid-season finales, starting with The Flash. Now, The Flash, of course, they're trying to stop Savitar and Alchemy. And they figure a way of tracking Alchemy because Julian, who works at the CCP with the Flash, until the Flash was told to quit his job, was found to have did the archaeological dig and found this stone, which they named the Philosopher's Stone. Harry Potter reference, I guess, because he was in Harry Potter. And so Barry, of course, asked him about it, and he's like, have you heard the name Savitar? He's like, where'd that name come from? And then they found a way to track the stone, which led Flash and Flash from Earth 3, Jay Garrick, to stop them. And they took on Savitar. Savitar kicked the ass of Jay Garrick, but Barry was able to get the stone and close the box that it was in, thus stopping Savitar from killing Jay Garrick. So now they have the stone, they have Alchemy locked up, and Alchemy's like doesn't remember he's Alchemy, like the guy who is Alchemy, he doesn't remember. So Flash revealed his identity to him, which Flash does a little bit too damn much, revealing his identity to everyone. And so they discovered that when Julian, which is Alchemy, becomes Alchemy, he doesn't realize he's doing it because Savitar has taken over his body. And so they did some trick to make Savitar talk to Julian. He tells him that, yeah, somebody's going to betray you. I'm from the future. You locked me away. And somebody's going to fall. Somebody's going to have a fate worse than death. And, of course, they're just, oh, what's going on? So now they have this box with this jewel. And Cisco starts feeling bad about his brother being dead. And now his brother shows up in the rooms like, oh, if you open the box, I can live and we can be together. And Cisco knows about it, but does it anyway. Releases Savitar. And Savitar's about to kill everyone when finally Cisco closes the box again. Savitar disappears because Savitar doesn't have a body and he's kind of trapped. I don't know if he's trapped in the stone or he's trapped in the Speed Force. And that's one of the reasons why no one can see him. And so, Jay Garrick tells Barry, throw this thing into the Speed Force. I'll help you. They do a little running. They open up a portal in the Speed Force. Barry throws the box, but it knocks him into the future, 5 months into the future. What coincidence? 5 months from now will be May when the show series is going off for the season. So Barry sees his future self in a park with Savitar holding Iris West, and Savitar stabs Iris. Now, Barry was wondering why, when he was checking the newspaper from the future that reports that the Flash goes missing during a crisis, that the name of the reporter changed from Iris West Allen to a totally different reporter. So they believe because he saw Iris get killed, he gets snatched back to the present by Jay Garrick, and Jay Garrick's trying to tell him, look, that's a possible future. We don't travel to the future for that reason, because we never know what future is actually going to happen. So now, of course, Flash is going to have that weighing on him for the next 5 months of how can he save Iris from being killed, and how can he prevent this? And, of course, the whole idea you can't travel through time is always a bad thing. Now, over at Legends, the Legion of Doom has put their plan into motion. You got Reverse Flash, you got Damian Dark, and now you got Michael Merlin joining the group. And they're traveling through time. They go back to Al Capone's era to help Al Capone take over by killing off Elliot Ness. So the Legends team goes to that time period to rescue Elliot Ness, and then, of course, they know Elliot Ness has to get Al Capone's ledger in order for Al Capone to be down, because if not, Al Capone eventually becomes mayor. But it's all set up by the Legion of Doom, because they want to get this amulet that the Legends have on their ship. And they get on the ship by Reverse Flash becoming Martin Stein, like he did Harrison Wells, but he didn't kill Stein this time, like he did Harrison Wells, and took over his body. And through a bunch of struggle, those three villains did get the amulet that they wanted off the ship. So now they think they can rewrite history by finding the Spear of Destiny. And one of the things we find out is Rip Hunter, who's been missing the whole season, isn't dead. He's stuck in a time period as a film director. And you can tell he's not happy. So at some point, I guess I'm guessing it would be a couple of things. Either he splintered throughout time, and there are time remnants of him throughout different time periods, or he still has a way of jumping from time to time. I don't know for sure, but we'll find out soon, because everything comes back in January. And then the last show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this whole arc has been about Ghost Rider. And they've been dealing with the Dark World, which is this book of incredible power and evil. And the Ghost Rider's uncle gets a hold of this book, and he uses it to give himself powers, and he thinks he can create matter out of nothing. But it turns out he's really stealing it from another dimension, and it's going to cause a major effect on everything if he's not stopped. And Ghost Rider wants to stop him because he's killed a lot of people, and Ghost Rider is only about vengeance. So the team goes in to stop the Ghost Rider's uncle. They do manage to stop him with the help of Life Model Decoy, who's read the Darkhold book, but now she seems to have come alive herself, and the team doesn't know this yet. And she creates a portal to suck in the device that Ghost Rider's uncle created that was going to detonate and destroy a lot of shit. But before that happened, Ghost Rider gets a hold of his uncle and allows himself to get sucked into this portal along with this bomb and his uncle, because all he cared about is getting getting his revenge. But now you think everything's cool, and it's not, because it turns out that there's a life model decoy of May, and the real May's being held prisoner by the life model decoy, who I guess made a life model decoy of May and locked her up. And who knows where that's going to go. And the thing is, like, androids are illegal since the Sokovia Accords were signed, where, because the Ultron, they're like, yeah, you can't build artificial life. That's just out. We've seen the dangers of it, and we're not going to have it. So I guess that's where the second half of the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will go when that comes back in March. And everything comes back in March as far as S.H.I.E.L.D., as far as Flash, Arrow, and that came to its end this week too. And Legends of Tomorrow, they come back in January. I think Gotham comes back in January too. But as far as Arrow, they're trying to stop Prometheus. But it turns out Prometheus has set his sights on destroying Oliver's life. He attacks Mr. Terrific as a civilian. He wounds him. His husband finds out about him working with the Arrow and gives him an ultimatum to either stop working with the Green Arrow or our marriage is over. And Mr. Terrific can't do it. And Artemis turns out that she's working for the bad guys, and she betrays the team. And now everybody seems butthurt. Diggle seems to have been captured at the end of the episode. Now, I don't know if he got captured by Argus or by the military, because he's still on the run from the military because he was framed for murder. And, of course, he hasn't been cleared yet. And when Oliver is at his low point at this point, he walks into the Quiver cave only to find Laurel Lance standing there, alive. Now, of course, they're going to explain why she's standing there. Like, is it because of the Flashpoint? Is it because she's from another Earth? Who knows? My theory is because the Legion of Doom is messing with time, and one of them is Damian Dark. Damian Dark, when he decided to travel through time, did not end up in that prison where Laurel Lance was killed last season. So if that's the case, then Laurel wouldn't be dead. But we'll find out who she is and whether she's the real Laurel or whether she's some aberration or time remnant or who knows. And that's basically it for the television talk. Let's get to some news. Ah, my phone line is lighting up. All these people are calling and they want to talk to me. I just feel the love. Not. Let's see. Where should we start? I might have talked about this last week, but I'll remind you. Marvel and Netflix confirmed there will be a Luke Cage season 2. That's no surprise. How to Train Your Dragon release pushed back to 2019. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And at that point, will anybody care about How You Train Your Dragon if it's going to be pushed back that far? Now, the first two, I think, are amazing movies for DreamWorks. And I've been longingly waiting for the third one. But according to Variety, this is off CBR. According to Variety, DreamWorks Animation has pushed back the release to its threequel to the lucrative franchise to March 1st, 2019, a year later than originally expected. It will now come out 1 week ahead of Brie Larson's led Marvel Studio film, Captain Marvel. If the film were to open on its original date, it would have faced off against Han Solo Star Wars anthology film a week later. So they're afraid of Han, they're not afraid of Marvel. We'll see how that turns out. How to Train Your Dragon will be directed by Dean DuBois, and will also helm the first, who also helmed the first two films of the series. So, looks like DreamWorks is running scared. And it is, I know I've talked about this before, but there are so many movies coming out, and there's just no room to put out movies so everybody can make money. And I know a lot of you don't remember the back in the day when there wasn't multiplexes, and films used to come out and spend a lot longer in the theaters before they were replaced by other films. But, you know, with multiplexes, you can put out more movies. And it used to be, in the beginning, you know, nobody stepped on nobody's toes. Everybody put out a movie, you know, apart from each other. But now, it's so many movies coming out, it's hard to do that. So now they either try to schedule where you have counter-programming. So, like, if you have a movie where a lot of little boys and guys want to see, then another studio try to put out a movie that the ladies will go watch, and then everybody's happy. But sometimes that works, sometimes it don't work. Sometimes they just go head-to-head and put out a movie that's going to go for the same audience, and whoever wins, wins. Then we almost got that this year, because originally Batman v Superman and Captain America Civil War was supposed to come out in the same weekend. That would have been an ugly experience, because when word would have got out that one movie is fantastic and the other one's not so good, it would have been a bloodbath. But DC flinched, moved their time, and they made some money. And now it's just getting harder and harder to not step on each other's toes. Now, I mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, one of the characters they've had on there is an Inhuman called Yo-Yo Rodriguez. And she's getting a spinoff that's going to stream on the ABC app. It's called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot. It's a 6-part digital series available in a couple of days, December 13th. Now, if you jumped off the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. bandwagon a year or two ago, you might want to watch at least this season for the Ghost Rider, because it was a pretty well done thing. It said, Elena Yo-Yo Rodriguez is about to become her own headliner. Following the laws of Inferno Dynamics, the mid-season finale to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel announced a spinoff for the spinoff miniseries entitled Slingshot. The brief trailer invites viewers to witness Agent Yo-Yo's mission in an all-new 6-part miniseries. The new series kicks off December 13th, which will be available streaming on the ABC app as well as ABC.com. You can check out the full video in addition to the teaser for January's 10th episode, Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, Agent S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming back in January. Okay. I guess because there's no Agent Carter, they might as well just bring it back. The series starter, Natalia Cordova Buckley, the inhuman agent with the ability to run faster than the eye can see before snapping back into place. The announcement also makes it sound as though she will be accompanied by several other SHIELD agents as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. And Agents of SHIELD will return on Tuesday, January 10th at 10 p.m. Office of Agents of SHIELD start Greg Clark, and you know all the actors on there, you should know by now, so it's no big deal. And what else? Yeah, I'm going to put a link in the chat room. There's a little video of Rocket and Baby Groot, which you can watch. They're having some antics with the collector, where, you know, Baby Groot is in the collector's collection, and Rocket has to rescue him. And the collector, he's the type, he doesn't want any of his possessions to get away from him. That's why he's the collector. And Baby Groot would be, even in the video, he wants to hug and love on Baby Groot, because who doesn't love Baby Groot? because Baby Groot won't stay a baby forever, and then he's Dangerous Groot. And I don't think he's going to stay Baby Groot in the movie either, because that would be crazy. Let's see. Leslie Jones, you know her as a comedian from Saturday Night Live. She wants to be in Deadpool 2. That would be funny, but if she goes, if she's going to play in Deadpool, I don't want her to just be some loud black chick in the movie. I want her to play an actual character that's related to the Deadpool franchise. I don't want people just to be in there just to be in there. So if they could find the right role for her, I think it'll work. But other than that, you know, do some other things. Don't write on Deadpool's coattail. Speaking of Deadpool, you know, they're up for, I think they won an award. Let me make sure that's right. There's a video out there about the marketing campaign for the Deadpool movie. You know, the things they did as far as the billboards and the videos and just going crazy. And they just dropped so many things on the internet week after week, month after month, and it paid off because it worked. And so I think they wanted some kind of marketing award, but you can't find the exact name of the award, so I'm going to skip that. NBC Powers is set for a February release date. If you don't know about Powers, it's a TV show set in the DC universe where a bunch of office people work in an insurance agency. You know, when people put in claims for their properties, because superheroes and supervillains make a mess. And of course, it stars Vanessa Hutchinson and Alan Tudyk. And who else? I know what's the other guy's name. I don't see it, but he's the guy from Community. So it's gonna arrive Thursday, February 2nd at 8:30 on NBC. And we'll keep you up to date on that. Justice League 2 pushed back to make way for the Ben Affleck solo Batman film. That tells you right there. DC doesn't have confidence in Justice League because that should be their flagship series, and nothing should move that for no reason. But it's Batman, and Ben Affleck probably does have some pull, and he wants to get that at least that one Batman film out, but he's solo, kicking ass, putting on the back suit, talking like this. Where is he? And I kind of don't blame him, but let's see. He says here, with Justice League wrapping production and sequels, June 14, 2019, they have reportedly been pushed back to make way for Ben Affleck's standalone Batman film. According to the Hollywood Reporter, there's no official word yet when exactly the sequel will be released. See, they can't even pick a new release date. In the meantime, Justice League director Zack Snyder will focus his attention on making a long gesture. Just starring thriller, The Last Photography. Snyder's eyeing a 2017 release date for the movie, which would be on much smaller scale compared to the last couple of superhero films Snyder has made. But the director still intends to come back to helm Justice League 2. Snyder confirmed last June that Justice League will not have a two-part movie after all. The last update on a possible release date for Ben Affleck Batman's film was earlier this year, in late September, when Time Warner CEO Jeff Burkus revealed that it might be a year and a half out. The movie will feature Deathstroke as the main villain and will simply be called The Batman. Of course, the first Justice League movie is coming out in November 17th of 2017. And Clarion Hines will play the movie's villain, Steppenwolf. So DC, get your act together, because if you can't hit it out the park with the Justice League, then you've probably sunk all your chances for all your other movies outside of Batman and maybe Superman. But, you know, Wonder Woman might kick ass, so here it is. Less than 24 hours after the well-received debut of the first Spider-Man trailer, Homecoming, Sony Pictures has already officially scheduled a sequel release date as reported by sources from Deadline. Friday, July 5th, 2019. What's going on here? Marvel and Sony, they're like, we're going to get all the movies out we can. DC's like, we're pushing our movies back. There's room for everything. It's 365 days in a year. If you were putting out the movies you need to be putting out, you wouldn't worry about anybody else or scheduling conflicts. You'd be confident that your movie is going to take all the money and bring it home to your company. And Disney is like, I think they don't give a fuck more at this point, because the money they make from Marvel and Star Wars and Disney and Pixar, it's just, I mean, they've already made over $6 billion this year, and they still got Rogue One to hit. What if Rogue One makes $1 billion? It easily could. It probably will. So, and we're talking $7-8 billion for Disney this year. And then next year ain't going to be any less. Marvel got 3 films coming out, plus another Star Wars film, plus Pixar, plus more Disney cartoons and Disney live action. And I just think they just, you know, they're going to make the next Disney World out of paper money. It's not even going to be a brick and mortar castle. It's going to be a paper castle of paper money. So, anyway, what's next? I think we're almost out of storylines. Oh, I mentioned that R.L. Stein is going to be writing for Marvel. So now it's been confirmed that R.L. Stein will be writing the Man-Thing. And those who fear burns at the touch of the Man-Thing. And so just announced yesterday that acclaimed horror writer R.L. Stein teased that the mystery series for Marvel comic would be revealed in a few days, and a twitch fitting of Goosebumps final pages. The reveal actually came out just a day later via the New York Times. Stein is writing a new Man-Thing limited series for Marvel Comics. The horror writer, known for young adult novel series Goosebumps, will make a comic writing debut with the new Man-Thing series. The comic, which will be heavily inspired by the Tales from the Crypt comic from the 50s, was featured covers by Tyler Crook and interiors from German Peretta. True to the 1950s horror anthology, each issue will include a short horror story written by Stein and drawn by a guest artist, the first of which would be Daniel Warren Johnson. And it says that I got a picture. R.L. Stein Man-Thing. Those who know fear, I mentioned that, and you see in the background a landscape burning. The new assignment fulfills his lifelong dream of Stein. My first ambition was to become a comic book artist, he told the New York Times. I'm starting to do this, okay. Man-Thing debuted in 1971 and is one of Marvel's leading supernatural monster protagonists. While the character doesn't speak, he plays a large part in numerous teen books, even his own series. The character tagline, I've just read it, he burns. You burn if you're afraid. Marvel apparently offered Stein a number of characters, but Man-Thing spoke to him. His frequent use of swamp monsters and Goosebumps was a deciding factor for him. Stein took on the character and will feature one major change, though. He will be able to talk. I'm in. I always wanted to know what the Man-Thing had to say. And I've read Man-Thing books, but it is hard to read a character that doesn't open his mouth. And so finally now we're going to get a little talking. I'm thinking he's going to scare the shit out of people. They got some images. This is on CBR. From the artwork from the first page. I've always liked the man thing, so I'm in. Get my money. Get my $3 to $4 a month until the series is over. I'm not a Goosebump fan because, you know, I'm afraid of a lot of stuff, but I'm in for this. Now, I think that's all the news, but I do have one story, but I'm going to do a last minute check to see if anything new has dropped lately. And then I'll get to the final story, which is, let's see. I don't care about why Will Smith chose Suicide Squad over Independence Day. He made a mistake anyway. No, I don't see anything new. So, the sad part of the news of the day, 2016 has been a killer. It's taken all our celebrities, old and young, and it hasn't taken off in the month of December for Christmas. It's still going strong. This week we lost Green Hornet star Van Williams. He died at the age of 82. He was the star of the Green Hornet TV show in the 60s, along with Bruce Lee. And of course, it made a revival in the 70s as a movie, but it was really the movie. It was just some strung together episodes to make it look like it was a movie. And of course, it made its way to comics. And there was a crossover between the Green Hornet and Batman, which you can find on YouTube. And of course, they've teamed up with the comics because they came out with the Batman 66. And then they started another series of Batman 66 Meet the Green Hornet. And that's still going strong. And I always thought Van Williams was a cool name. And of course, Seth Rogen had to fuck up the Green Hornet movie that came out in the last few years. But maybe when they do a reboot, they'll get it right this time, not do a clown show. So, yeah, he lived a long life, and I don't know what other shows he's been, but he was the Green Hornet. If you can watch those on YouTube, check him out. I always liked the Green Hornet. I always thought certain actors would have played a great Green Hornet, but they never got around to it until that disaster of a movie. So, that's all the news I can come up with today, and no one's calling in, so I'm not going to stretch this show out any longer. I will tell you about the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio, starting with this show, which will be our last show of the year next Sunday, 5 p.m. And it will be the annual show where I'll list all the comic book movies from worst to best. And because so many of them came out, I will also do a list of animated movies. And I may talk about some of the books that I like reading this year. And I'm not sure, but I believe this should be also a WWE pay-per-view event next Sunday, which of course I'm not sure if we actually are doing a pre and post show and who's going to be hosting it, but it is the final Raw pay-per-view, the Roadblock end of the line. And next Saturday, we'll be doing the second annual Star Wars Christmas special. Of course, Rogue One will be out by then, and we'll have a discussion of it. And you are invited to join in, you know, on Skype. It's not about me talking, it's about us discussing the movie. So hopefully you'll join, you'll call. And, of course, the other shows coming up this week is The Rant at Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Thumbstick Ninjas, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Thursday is Rant and Wrestling. And next Saturday at 11 is the Wrestling Call-In Show. And no, but there's one more show. Fridays, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9. Never forget Turnbuckle Throwbacks. What's up, Philadelphia Phil? So, that's it. I'm going to play y'all out in a song. And it's in honor of Van Williams. I'm going to play the Green Hornet theme song. And the song will sound familiar, but remember, it was stolen. Not stolen, but the song you think it's from, the movie you think it's from, it's not. This is the actual song they played in the Green Hornet way before it was used in a movie. So keep that in mind. And until next week, I'll talk to you then. Peace.